Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mona Montgomery with this evening's edition of The Hula Hoax. There were no gas chambers. There was no pure Jew fat soap. There were no Jew skin lampshades, and there were no Mengelian experiments. What there were concentration camps, because Hitler had decided that the Jewish Bolsheviks, who were in the process in Russia of crucifying, torturing, and killing 65 million white Christian Russians, needed to be put in cages.
Have you heard the latest news about Moses and Akhenaten being the same person? It's absolutely amusing. Joseph came over from Israel during a drought and got himself married to an Egyptian lady and gave birth to Moses, who was a half-breed Klingon monster. You can see Akhenaten's pictures just by going to a search engine. This guy has a tall, skinny head. He looks like that type of Negro that they used for the Heckle and Jekyll movies. Well, that's what Akhenaten looks like, or Amenhotep the IV. And this apparently was the same guy as Moses. He was a half-breed who got kicked out of power after he ascended to the Egyptian throne. And when he was kicked off the throne, he took a bunch of Jews over to Israel. You know that Moses was wandering around in the desert for 40 years. Well, I don't have the full story on that one yet, but that's the scoop. Akhenaten and Moses are the same people in history, and you can actually get a look at what Moses actually looked like. As I said, he has a tall, slender head with enormous, enormous lips and strange-looking, slanty eyes. And this Klingon monster has been imputed to have developed monotheism, but far from it. He didn't invent monotheism at all. What he did was he brought the Jewish tribal god into ascendancy during his reign in Egypt, and he made all of the Egyptian people take all of the little birds and the cats and the dogs that they had been building statues of that they loved so much, and he made them slit their throats in half, you know, just halfway through, in the manner of the kosher killings, and sacrifice them on altars to this hideous satanic god of theirs. So, too bad, Akhenaten turns out not to have been a genius ahead of his time. He was simply a Jew forcing all of the Egyptians under his reign to worship that strange tribal god who demands human and animal sacrifices. What a shame. Here's what's wrong with the Jews. The Jews assassinated JFK, and the Jews attacked us in 9/11. That's the reason I hate the Jews. I think that's a very good reason to hate the Jews. They comprise 1% of our population, and yet they have destroyed us as a nation. History reveals that the 65 white Christians who were murdered in their homes in the Russian Revolution were killed by Jews. American communism caused the invasion of Russia by Jews, outfitted them with rifles and machetes and uniforms, black jackets and black pants, and told them to go around the countryside and kill as many upper and middle class white Christians as you could find. And before the bloodshed was over, it was 65 million. That's why I hate the Jews. The Jews then got control of our American media and hid these important historical facts from us while they infiltrated our government so completely that by 1981, there were so many Mossad agents in the CIA that if a member of the CIA spotted nefarious surveillance practices perpetrated by Jews within the CIA, he couldn't report it to his superior because he stood such a high chance of getting fired. That's why I hate the Jews. Now, if you want to take a look at my findings, just ask yourself, why was there no investigation after the assassination of JFK? Why are all of the records sealed for the next 30 years, for a total of 60 years of important information being hidden from the American public? And why do we see the same kind of failure to investigate after 9/11 and the same kind of records being sealed for generations? It's because the truth of these very important historical events in America's history are being kept from American citizens. It doesn't take too much investigation to notice that after 9/11, the following happened. The Patriot Act was passed, which gave complete powers, police powers, to all of the police, without any need for even reasonable suspicion before they could haul you away without a hearing and put you in jail. And they did this, in fact, to Ernst Zundel, this head Jew, the head of the Homeland Security Department, Michael Chertoff, did this to Ernst Zundel, who had committed absolutely no crime, but was critical of Israel. This is why I hate the Jews. It's very important for white people to take this opportunity offered by the internet to get their voice out. Ever since the Second World War, our media has been taken over by Jewish communists, just as Joe McCarthy said it was being taken out. And even though he was able to get rid of some of the Hollywood writers, the communists, nobody listened to Joe McCarthy, and in fact the Jews did completely take over our media, and the media is now 100% owned by Jews. The grand exception to this was Ted Turner, until they bought out CNN, and now there's not one single important news mogul who is other than Jewish. However, they do not control the internet, so this is the time for the white man to get his voice out. You can go to various shows on the internet, just do a search on white radio, white people's issues, and you can find that for $25 an hour, you can send a CD to any one of these hosts, these white people's radio hosts, and get your voice out to many, many, many people. As we work harder and harder on this and get more and more white people talking, you will find that the truth will catch hold like wildfire. And once again, the voice of the white Christian will be heard in this land. It certainly was courageous of the Jews to hit Ahmed Yassin yesterday, wasn't it? With their helicopters and their missile launchers and this blind quadriplegic man in a wheelchair. They're getting more courageous as we speak. Imagine how fearful it must have made them feel to attack this blind, quadriplegic man. Knowing, as we do, the cowardly nature of Jews, to take a helicopter with some missile launchers and actually have the courage to kill a blind, quadriplegic man in a wheelchair. That's way to go, Jews. Way to go. Ahmed Yassin, quoted as having told people in 1997 when he was interviewed in a hospital, "We do not hate the Jews as Jews. We are fighting for our rights, our land, and our homes. We are fighting against those who kill us. We want truth. We are not aggressors against anyone. We do not oppress anyone. The Palestinian people want to return to their homes. For that reason, we are prepared to live with the Jews in the best possible circumstances, in brotherhood and in a spirit of cooperation. But they must not infringe our rights. If my Muslim brother of the same mother and father took my land, I would fight him. I would fight my brother, though he was from the same mother and father." So you see, there's no bias, there's no racism involved here. It's a simple case of the Israelis taking 88% of the Palestinians' land and the Palestinians fighting back as best they can. Sheikh Ahmed Yassin is very interesting. He was born in 1929 in Israel. He was put into a concentration camp, one of the Gaza refugee camps, when his family was uprooted by the Jews. In 1948, the year Israel was created, as you know, the Jews went around to people's houses in the Israeli side of the partition plan and demanded that they leave their homes and rounded them up into concentration camps, which are called refugee camps. Little Ahmed Yasin was one of these people. So he lived in the Gaza City slum, refugee camp, during his childhood. He founded Hamas. I don't think there's going to be any solution to the Israeli-Palestine conflict until the rest of the Arabs get involved. As long as they just keep taking this lying down, like the way we attacked Iraq, nobody reacted, none of the Arabs reacted. Until they get together, unify, and strike back, I don't see a solution. Sheikh Ahmed Yasin's jihad took the following position. The Jews had no right to drive off the 750,000 Palestinians who lived on the Israeli side of the partition plan. The Jews had no right to take over 50% of the land belonging to the Palestinians on the Palestine side of the partition plan. And the Jews had no right to continue their land grab to take up another 50% of the Palestinian side of the partition plan and to build their recent wall, leaving the Palestinians with only 12.5% of their original land. To this end, Sheikh Ahmed Yasin said the only acceptable solution would be for the Jews to honor the original partition plan upon which Israel's creation was based, which would mean they would have to give up all of the land they stole from the Palestinians and allow those Palestinians and their children who had lived on the Israeli side of the partition plan to return to the Israeli side of the partition plan. This is so logical, so obvious, that no one can refute it. The original contract upon which Israel was based stated that the partition plan would be divided in half. The Israelis would have to allow the resident Palestinians to live on the Israeli side of the partition plan and would not be allowed to expand into the Palestinian side of the partition plan. Sheikh Ahmed Yasin's offer of settlement was extremely generous. He would not ask for damages caused by the breach of contract on the part of the Israelis, but he would demand that the contract be honored. In order to implement Chief Ahmed Yasin's jihad, the fulfillment of the original contract upon which Israel was based, he formed Hamas. Sheikh Ahmed Yasin's position was different from that of Prime Minister Arafat. Arafat was willing to accept the new borders that Israel created in her illegal war against the Syrians and the Lebanese and the Egyptians and the Jordanians. Sheikh Ahmed Yasin took the position that Israel did not have the right to expand her borders after the 1967 war. Remember, it was in 1967 that the Israelis attacked the USS Liberty, which was surveilling their illegal attack on the Golan Heights in Syria and southern Lebanon, and the illegal assassination of 1,000 Egyptians in the desert at gunpoint. In an attempt to silence the voice of the American witnesses, Israel attempted to sink the USS Liberty, but only managed to kill 34 of the men on board and seriously injure 171 more American sailors on that surveillance vessel. Prime Minister Yasser Arafat was willing to allow Israel to keep the land she stole during that illegal war in 1967. Sheikh Ahmed Yasin was not. So on this point, the Sheikh disagreed with Prime Minister Arafat, but nevertheless, they were good friends. Ahmed Yassin's position was different from that of Prime Minister Arafat. Sheikh Ahmed Yassin took the position that Israel did not have the right to expand her borders after the 1967 war. Remember, it was in 1967 that the Israelis attacked the USS Liberty, which was surveilling their illegal attack on the Golan Heights in Syria and southern Lebanon, and the illegal assassination of 1,000 Egyptians in the desert at gunpoint. In an attempt to silence the voice of the American witnesses, Israel attempted to sink the USS Liberty, but only managed to kill 34 of the men on board and seriously injure 171 more American sailors on that surveillance. Prime Minister Yasser Arafat was willing to allow Israel to keep the land she stole during that illegal war in 1967. Sheikh Ahmed Yassin was not. So on this point, the Sheikh disagreed with Prime Minister Arafat, but nevertheless, they were good friends. No loyal American can take the position that Israel should benefit by her attack on the USS Liberty. So Americans are forced, if they are loyal, to agree with Sheikh Ahmed Yassin that the Israelis have to honor the original partition plan and not the 1967 borders, which were created at the expense of the USS Liberty and her sailors. Nevertheless, most Americans have never even heard of the USS Liberty, or if they have, they believe, because they've been misled by the American government, that the attempt to sink the USS Liberty was an accident. I can understand an Israeli Jew taking the position that Sheikh Ahmed Yassin should be assassinated, since he poses a threat to Israel, but I can't understand an American Jew taking that position, since all the Sheikh wants is for Israel to honor the original partition plan upon which Israel was founded. After all, the 1967 boundaries, which Arafat is willing to honor, were obtained at the expense of the USS Liberty, who was surveilling the illegal takeover of the Golan Heights, southern Lebanon, and the illegal assassination of 1,000 Egyptians in the desert at gunpoint. How can any American, Jewish or not, accept that Israel should benefit by the attempted sinking of the American USS Liberty? Do you know what the Jews say about the USS Liberty? They say that the USS Liberty was spying on behalf of Egypt. I don't think very much of Abraham. I don't like people that sacrifice their children on altars to Satan, personally. But I am interested in hearing the Jews' story, which is that Mohammed, the prophet of the Muslims, was killed by a Jew. That means that two prophets have been killed by Jews, Jesus Christ and Mohammed. I don't know, though. I think the Christians have a little bit bigger beef against the Jews than the Muslims do, because Jesus Christ was only trying to make the Jews give up their Satan worship by going into the temple and overturning the cages of the sacrificial animals and telling the Jews they had to give up these practices because they shouldn't make out of God's house a den of thieves. And, of course, everyone with any common sense knows that a deity of love is not pleased with the sacrificial cries of victims who are being slowly tortured to death, a crime against God that is committed by both the Muslims and the Jews. But again, as far as the rivalry between the Christians and the Muslims is concerned regarding the Jewish assassination of their prophets, I think it was very unsportsmanlike on the part of the Jews to make of Jesus Christ their Passover sacrifice so long ago, and I deeply resent the fact that they stole Jesus' body to drain it of blood for their hideous sacrificial practices on that Passover day. I'm responding to a comment that a Jewish man made in the Islam chat room that he bragged about his people, the Jewish mistress, killing the Muslim prophet Abraham. I had never heard that story before I came into a Muslim chat room and heard this Jewish man laughing at the Muslims and saying, "We killed your prophet, we killed your prophet." And I couldn't help but think, well, they killed my prophet too. My prophet was trying to get them to give up their Satan worship, to get them to stop sacrificing animals on an altar, on stone altars to their hideous satanic deity, and in response to Jesus' very noble appeal to the conscience of the Jews to stop worshiping Satan, they just had meetings behind closed doors and said to themselves, "We'll show that Jesus Christ a thing or two. He's going to try to get us to stop sacrificing animals on Passover. We'll just arrange to have him nailed to a cross on Passover." And they did it too. And then they stole the body. And we know why. Because history proves that over the last 2,000 years, there have been hundreds of cases of little blue-eyed blonde babies being found in the forests with their throats half slit and their blood drained out of their bodies. We know this because we have a 64-volume book drafted by monks over the centuries called the Acta Sancta, in which all of these little children have been documented as they get found throughout the ages. Their poor little bodies drained of blood, sometimes they're crucified, sometimes they're tortured to death, and they have their throats half slit. We know what the Jews are up to, and we deeply resent the fact that they did it to our prophet. So I would say that the Jews should think twice before they come dancing into the Muslim chat room and bragging about killing the Muslims' prophet, because they killed our prophet too, which gives the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians a great deal in common. Neither of us are very happy with the way the Jew has treated our prophets. Not all Christians believe the Catholic interpretation of Christianity. Remember, there's been a Protestant revolution around for about 500 years, and I am a Protestant. In fact, I'm an Episcopalian, which is Church of England, Church of the White Man. I do not believe for one minute that God ordained the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, in order to satiate his otherwise insatiable appetite for the cries of torture victims. That is a Jewish doctrine. It's called the Doctrine of Atonement, and it's anathema to any reasonable person who believes that God is a God of love and justice. What God would accept a substitute sacrifice? No just God. And what kind of a deity would need to brutally torture to death a person, even if they had committed a crime? It's absolutely unacceptable. Clearly, what happened to poor Jesus Christ is that he was appealing to the Jews to stop their hideous Satan worship, and they punished him by making him an object of their Satan worship, an offering to their hideous satanic god. Christianity is supposed to be a religion of Christ's religion, not a strange superimposition of Judaism over Christ. That's a complete betrayal of Christ. He didn't want to further the concept of atonement. He wanted to free people of Satan worship and teach them that God was just and loving. Only a Jew could be proud of taking a helicopter with a bunch of missile launchers and killing a blind man over the age of 70 who is a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. This is truly a race of hideous, creepy, cringy cowards. There's nothing to be proud of. It's a thing to be ashamed of. How about leveling the playing field a little bit, Jew? How about going after someone your own size? Don't go after a tiny little man who's a quadriplegic and entirely blind over the age of 70 and then come out dancing in the streets. Oh, we got the big boy. And besides, look at what Hamas stands for. Hamas stands for a fulfillment of the contract upon which Israel was based, the partition plan. All Sheikh Ahmed Yassin wanted was to make the Jews honor the original contract, which was to allow the Palestinians to return to the Israeli side of the partition plan and give back all of the land they illegally stole in 1967. No American could honor anything less than that, because our ship, the USS Liberty, was attacked during the illegal takeover of the Golan Heights and southern Lebanon, and the illegal assassination of 1,000 Egyptians in the desert, and we as Americans simply cannot stand by and watch the Jews benefit at the expense of our billion-dollar surveillance vessel with all hands on board. This is not going to fly with America. You are not going to benefit by your 1967 war because you attempted to sink our ship and you murdered 44 of our sailors and seriously injured with quadriplegic type of injuries 171 more. No, Jew, Americans are not going to stand for it any more than Sheikh Ahmed Yassin was going to stand for it, because it is plainly unfair. And again, may I assert that Jesus Christ has taught us good white Christians in America that God is a God of love and a God of justice, and you're just not going to get away with it. It doesn't matter whose prophet is superior to whose prophet. What matters is who has the property rights to Israel. Those property rights belong to the Palestinians. They have lived there since the Jews were kicked out in 67 AD. Palestine has existed and is mentioned in the Bible as long ago as before even the Bible was written. The property belongs to the Palestinians. The only reason that Israel got the property was because it was agreed in the United Nations that these poor, suffering, saint-like humanitarians should have a homeland of their own. And so the partition plan was created, and boundaries were drawn, and the contract was exactly what Sheikh Ahmed Yassin stood for. The contract was thus: the resident Palestinians on the Israeli side of the partition plan should be allowed to continue living there, and Israel would not expand her borders. But Israel betrayed that contract. Israel breached that contract. Day one, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, as a child, was driven out of his home on the Israeli side of the partition plan and driven into one of the refugee camps on the Gaza Strip. So he knew from his own experience from 1947 that these Israelis
were violating their contract, and all he wanted and what he stood for was that the Israelis should honor the contract. He didn't even demand reparations or damages or anything like that. He simply said, honor the original contract. That is hardly the position of a terrorist. There's no crime in defending your homeland against an invading force. It's the honorable and right thing to do. It's a crime to take a helicopter with a bunch of missile launchers and assassinate without a trial, without due process, a 70-year-old man who is blind and quadriplegic and confined to a wheelchair. That is the crime. I can't understand why the Jews are celebrating this. They ought to be hanging their heads in shame. It's so cowardly. It's astonishing. It proves that these cowards are torturing 400 Palestinians a month. You can see the character of this genotype by just looking and seeing what they did to this Sheikh Ahmed Yassin. And for absolutely no reason and in direct violation of their agreement, because remember, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin had been a prisoner in an Israeli prison, and he was exchanged for a Mossad agent several years ago. So what the Jews did was they exchanged Sheikh Ahmed Yassin for one of their Mossad agents, and then they just turn around and get into a great big giant helicopter with missile launchers and shoot at this 70-year-old quadriplegic in a wheelchair who is totally blind on his way back from a religious ceremony at his local mosque. It doesn't get any worse than that. That's like the rednecks in Alabama bombing that church with the Negroes in it. It's a crime. It's going to live in infamy. This is nothing to be proud of.
The Muslims are going to have to rethink their position, are they not? Now that they see how truly lacking in any form of integrity these Jews are, not that they didn't already know that, but after all, the Arabs are going to have to unite. That's the next step if the Arabs are going to be able to survive this Jewish invasion. And don't forget, the Jews have a very bad history. They killed 65 million white Christians in Russia between the years 1917 and 1940. So they are murderers, and they're good at their trade. It seems to me that it's time for the 1.5 billion Arabs to take this threat seriously and do something about these 7 million Jews that are living in Israel. I think that the odds are on the side of the Muslims. It's just that for some reason the Muslims have not united. And they need to do it now. They really need to unite and get rid of these Jews. Because any people who think it's a heroic act to take a helicopter and some missile launchers and kill a 71-year-old man who's a quadriplegic cripple in a wheelchair, blind, on his way home from his mosque, you know, these are not human beings. Can't you see that these Jews are not human by their acts? This is not the act of a human being. And then you see that they come out and they dance and sing, oh, look at how wonderful we are, we killed the crippled guy. You know, they're little satanic demons. That's what they are. They need to be taken seriously. They need to be destroyed, and that means that the Arab nations are going to have to unite. Now, come on, Arabs. It's 1.5 billion of you to 7 million Jews. What is that? The odds, something like 1,000, 1,500 to 1? There's no excuse anymore for the Arabs not to unite and deal with this problem. Oh, shut the fuck up! Who cares whether or not Jesus is the Son of God? If you worship Jesus, worship Jesus. Shut the fuck up. You cannot use Jesus Christ as an excuse to steal land from people. You hideous creep. Using religion as an excuse to lie, cheat, steal, and murder is exactly what Jesus Christ was saying
in John 8:44 when he told the Jews, "You don't understand me because you are not like me. I am from my Father in heaven, and you are of your father, the devil, the author of all lies, murders, and thieveries. You filthy, disgusting pigs, using God as an excuse for you to murder a man in a wheelchair over 70 years old who is blind and a quadriplegic is a vicious, vicious assault on God. And in fact, does not invoke God at all. You filthy creatures from hell, you are invoking Satan. If you invoke a deity to empower you to murder, to torture, to steal, fuckers, you are invoking Satan, and you need to go back to hell to your father, the devil." Under the law, if you leave your land for 26 years, you lose your land. The Jews lost their land in Israel when they were driven out by the Romans in 67 AD and wandered around for 2,000 years. You don't get to come back after 2,000 years and say, "This is my land." They left it. It is lost. Under the laws, you don't get to just have your land forever. Even in the United States, if you've got a piece of property and you leave it for 26 years, it's gone. In fact, in California, it's 5 years. You walk away from your property in California and fail to pay your taxes, it is not your property anymore. The Jews have no property rights to that country whatsoever, except what was given to them by the British, who took it over in a fraudulent manner from the Ottoman Empire before 1900. Remember Lawrence of Arabia? Remember how Lawrence of Arabia went in? He was a beautiful Englishman, a saint, a wonderful man, and he understood the plight of the Palestinians and the Arabs, and he said, "I can free you from the Ottoman Empire and make you independent." And they all loved him because he was such a beautiful man, and they followed him, and he gave them their independence. And then the English, who had been using Lawrence of Arabia as a pawn, gave Lawrence of Arabia a great big award, and then they stole the entire area and put it under a British protectorate. Lawrence of Arabia was so mad he wouldn't even take the honor. He threw it back in his face because the British had betrayed Lawrence of Arabia in order to steal that land in the Middle East that had so much oil. It did not even belong to the British. It belongs to the original Palestinians. The Jews had been spreading all over Europe, killing 65 million Russians. That's what the Jews were up to, and killing our little blonde babies, cutting their throats in half and draining them of all their blood and getting kicked out of European countries 90 times because they're so unpleasant. The Jews have absolutely no rights to that land except what was given to them by the British, and even the British didn't have the rights. But the Arabs are being extremely generous with the Jews and saying, "Hey, let bygones be bygones. You want to live here? You can live here. Here, you know, we'll welcome you. Come on in." And what do the Jews do? They start slaughtering 750,000 Palestinians. Jews will be Jews. Now, I say that it's time to rethink Sheikh Ahmed Yassin's directive, which was not to go beyond Palestine's limits in their fight with the Jews. Far be it from me to disagree with the Sheikh, but I feel that we need to rethink his policy. The Sheikh said, if we try to unite all the Arabs, we're just going to get in worse trouble. But I'm not so sure. I would like to understand his thinking, but it seems to me when you've got 1.5 billion Arabs against 7 million Jews, you should be able to figure some way of getting the Jews out of the situation, because they have proven themselves entirely unworthy of this free gift, this absolute pro bono, here it is, for fun and for free, you can have it. And what do? They slaughter the Palestinians and steal all their land and sink our beautiful USS Liberty ship. These guys are no damn good. We've got to think about this statistics. 1.5 billion Arabs, 7 million Jews. Come on, guys. It's time to start talking. It's funny how the Jews turn religious whenever anyone starts talking about real things that might implicate them in the crimes they've committed and their attendant punishment. No, this is not a religious thing here, Jew. This is a temporal question.
what is the world going to do to you now that you have breached your contract upon which Israel was based? You've driven 750,000 Palestinians off of your side of the partition plan, and you have stolen what amounts to 88% of the land which formerly belonged to the Palestinians. That is the question. It's not about Jesus, it's not about Mary, and it's not about God. It's about you, Jew, and what we, the world, are going to do to you. Now, let's talk reality. Yes, the Jews have illegally manufactured 400 nuclear warheads, which they obtained through America's nuclear material, money, and scientific know-how. And America is on to them, and America knows this. JFK was trying to dismantle them 4 months before he was assassinated, and Americans now know who actually assassinated our president, our most loved president, John F. Kennedy. It was the Jews. So where do we go from here? I suggest that America send a couple of F-16s over Dimona, Israel, and knock out Israel's nuclear facilities. I believe that those nuclear armaments are not triggered and that we can just snuff them within an hour. And that will be the end of Israel's nuclear ascendancy on the planet, which she so brutally misuses. If we fail in that, what if Israel does send nuclear weapons into Arabia? How far is she going to get? How much damage can she do before 1.5 million Arabs overrun Israel and drive her into the sea? I think it's time we start talking reality, and don't let the Jews take us off on these silly religious discussions, because this is a temporal problem. America is waking up. 9/11 was our wake-up call. And fortunately, we had the internet at our disposal. So after 9/11, good Americans came on the internet at the directive of our President George Bush, who told each and every American to enter into the battlefield of ideas. That's what we've been doing on the internet. And we have noticed that there was no investigation of 9/11. And we have equated that with the fact that there was no investigation after the assassination of JFK. And we have noticed that after 9/11, three spy rings of Israeli spies were given safe passage to Israel at the behest of Michael Chertoff, a Jew who was assigned to be head of Homeland Security. We noticed that. How strange that is. Don't you agree that after our country is attacked, our enemies are given safe passage to their homeland without being arrested or even detained, much less convicted? And that when they arrived on Israel's shores, they were just set free by Ariel Sharon? These Israeli spies, these enemies of America, were protected, not convicted under the Homeland Security. And then we noticed that Ernst Zundel, who was an outspoken critic of Israel's, was arrested and kicked out of our country for 20 years for having committed no crime, other than having published a book about 20 years ago called Did 6 Million Really Die? The Truth at Last, in which he reveals that there were no gas chambers in Germany, that we've all been the victim of communist propaganda, and that the Jews, the Jewish communists, murdered 65 million white Christians in Russia and then gained control of the American government and the English government to support the communist government, the Russian Jewish communist government, to murder another 10 million white Christian Germans after the war was over, which is a war crime. Americans have been listening. Americans have been studying. Americans have been researching and sharing ideas on the internet. And we now know that the American government has been hijacked by Jews, that we've been betrayed, that the very country who attacked us in 9/11 has managed to put their harness over our military and has forced us to commit atrocities against the innocent Iraqi people and plunder the National Baghdad Museum, which housed proof that the Sumerians were far more advanced than the Jews 5 to 10,000 years ago.
We are waking up. We are not waking. We have not woken up yet, but we are waking up. And I think if we can assist in America's awakening process, it will be a very simple matter to get rid of the Jew. Does the Quran say that Moses and Mary were brother and sister? Does the Quran say that the Egyptians crucified people? That's very, very interesting, because I'm reading a book called Moses and Akhenaten by Ahmed Osman, an Egyptian, who says very similar things, not the same, but very interesting things. He claims that Joseph, who was the son of Jacob Israel, went to Egypt and married an Egyptian princess and gave birth to Tyre, Princess Tyre, who was half Egyptian and half Jewish. Princess Tyre then gave birth to Akhenaten the IV, who was half, three-quarters Egyptian and one-quarter Jewish. This threatened the royal line of the Egyptians, who didn't want any Jewish blood in their line. So in order to save the life of her son, she sent him to be brought up by her Jewish relatives. He then came back, took the throne as Akhenaten the IV under his father, with whom he was a co-regent, Amenhotep III. This means that Amenhotep III and Amenhotep IV, father and son, co-reigned in Egypt for several years. But this filthy, disgusting mongrel was given over to Judaism, which is Satan worship, and he overthrew all of the Egyptian gods and instated Satan, the monotheistic, the one Satan god of the Jews, and forced the Egyptians to take their beautiful little friendly animals, the cats and the dogs and the birds, and take them to these stone altars and slit their throats halfway and bleed them of all their blood to offer up to this hideous god of Amenhotep IV, also known as Akhenaten, also known as Moses, to satiate the bloodlusts of this vicious deity, this satanic god of the Jews. For which cause, that and other causes, he was driven out of Egypt and went over to Jerusalem, or to Israel. This was Moses. Mose, meaning son of Amenhotep III, and Tyre, this mongrel, Jewish, Israeli, Egyptian princess. So Moses was a mongrel, and if you want to know what he looked like, all you have to do is look at the images of Akhenaten or Amenhotep IV, and you will see a real sleazy-looking Jew with giant negroid lips and a real arrogant expression and ears that are three times the normal size. You will see a true Klingon monster, and there is your Moses. For further verification of the evil nature of Moses, who was a liar and a thief, you can look at the statue of Moses rendered by Michelangelo, and you'll see he's depicted as a glorious, heroic character. But Michelangelo has put two little horns on his head, and Michelangelo is not given to symbolism. So there you have Michelangelo's way of alerting future generations to the fact that Moses was no saint.
Thank you for listening tonight, ladies and gentlemen, to this evening's edition of The Holohoax. See you next week, same time, same station.